Good morning, church. Oh, it's kind of quiet. I see a lot of faces out there. Let's see if we can make a noise. It sounds a little bit more like what you look like. Good morning, church. If God is good to you today, say thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I see a lot of faces I don't recognize today. I'm so glad you guys are here with us. If you are a visitor, you are an honored guest at Church in the Falls. We are glad you're here. We want you to feel comfortable. If you have a question about something, just poke someone next to you and ask. Don't feel like we have to keep a cone of silence or anything. We really want you to be comfortable. And if there's something you need, just speak up and someone will hook you up with what you need. We have newly renovated bathrooms over here. Please check those out. And we have some being renovated bathrooms. You might want to leave those alone. They're a little dangerous. What a blessing it is to be together today. I'm going to have to lift this up. I'm a little taller. There we go. I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to say, Jesus loves you and so do I. You're blessed to have at least two friends. I want to remind you of our contract. If you have invited someone to our spring journey, then you get a piece of chocolate, and that chocolate has returned to the table out there. Remember, God is watching the chocolate. So if your hands go in the chocolate and it hasn't extended a card to invite someone, then your hand might be slapped by the Holy One, and I would not want to witness that. So there's also some of these cards. Feel free to grab one. Here's the cool thing. If you're a visitor, you brought yourself today. You get a piece of chocolate. So thank you for coming to Church in the Falls. This is good, huh? So please feel free to grab one. There's some Dove promises back there. And we're glad that all of you have come out today. If you got your sermon insert here, there's a lot more blanks than I remember putting on there, but there they are. So if you're looking for them, they'll be in bright red with yellow around them. Some of you really need to have those filled out or you won't be able to go home in peace. So I want to make sure you know that they'll be on the screen. Feel free to follow along. Mainly what I want to do is give you a directional thing with a passage. So if you decide to go back and read and study, you'll have kind of the roadmap of where we came from today. So please take that and use that as it meets your needs. So glad that all of you are here. What a blessing it is to be with God and to celebrate Him. As you know, we are talking a little bit out of the box. The next 6 more weeks, the past 2 weeks, and the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about really tough questions. You know, what if the whole scenario of our understanding of God were different? What if Jesus wasn't really who he said he was? Today we're going to look at, what if he was a liar? Next week, what if he was a lunatic? You know, what did he really resurrect from the dead? How do we know these things? And we're going to look at a little evidence in the service as well as in our class. There's some really great resources that we're going to get to talk about. And I want to encourage you, this is real important. Those of us who grew up in church feel like we don't have the freedom to ask questions, really good questions like, how do you know the Bible is inspired? That's a great question, and it is a fair question. And I want to invite you, if you have questions like that, to ask them. And I also promise you, we may not have a clean answer for you. It may not be, oh, yeah, that's how it is. It may be, that's a very good question. And I'm thinking about that one myself. I've got enough around me that I'm going to lean into this, but there are some areas that I don't know. I've got a whole shelf of questions for God when I get there, and they're on like a coat rack. Oh, that question is not going to be answered in this world, so I hang it up on the coat rack. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask all those questions. But there's enough to go on that we can truly just weigh the evidence and make an informed decision about God and our relationship with him. And so I want us to take the time to do that. If you've not asked these questions, then you should. If you honestly have these questions, you're in the right place. If you already have the answers to these questions, readdress it so that you know them more in your spirit, and you'll be able to talk about them with those in the world who really would like to know, because they are very good questions. Do you guys remember this? Go ahead and push play.
And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
President?
Yes, sir.
I'm not a crook. The posture, the language, makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? I cannot confirm, nor... Oh, you've heard that one too, huh? How does it make you feel when people ask and answer questions like that? I did not. You know where I'm going, right? Go ahead and push play. We won't watch the whole thing.
It was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
I mean, that is the epitome of politician. That is the epitome of running for office, to say the right things, to turn the ears of the right people, to get the right amount of votes to step into power. And it turns our stomach, especially in Ohio. This is one of those 50-50 states. It is amazing to me. I've heard many of you share the stories, and I just got to experience it for the first time this past election, that this particular state has the nastiest, most angry, vitriol type of advertisements for political office of anywhere. Am I accurate in that? Have you seen it worse anywhere else? I've never seen it. I mean, Florida I thought was bad. It is bad here. And the whole time we're thinking, I don't even care anymore. There's something so wrong about that. There's a screaming lie that just comes out. You know how you know when a politician is lying? When they open their mouth, right? See, this is really too easy for you guys to know all this already. This must be something we are experiencing in life. What I want you to understand is, there is a good question. What if Jesus were just a politician? What if Jesus could spin a web of tales so creative that he could not confirm nor deny that he was the Son of God? But he just looks the part. I mean, we all know that Jesus was Fabio-like, right? We all know that he had this particular flowy hair and the robe and the wind, and he looks off longingly, right? We've seen the movies. I know they have video from then. So this is what's going on. We just know how Jesus is supposed to be. And he walks on the scene and he does these things. And we have the honest question, how do I know that you are for real? Are you not a crook, Jesus? How do I know you're not just a politician running for the highest office in the world, that of the Son of God? Everybody wants to be the Son of God, especially in that time frame, because that means you get to take down the Romans, you get to overthrow the government, and boy, would you be powerful. And it's justified because you're the Son of God. It's a powerful idea. Many, many messiahs came through the time. So, what makes Jesus special? How could we answer that question? What if Jesus was a liar, a politician? I've heard a lot of people say, and I think ignorantly, and I'm just going to be honest with my opinion on this one, that Jesus was a good moral teacher, but not the whatever, Messiah, not the Son of God, not God in the flesh, not whatever, but he was a good moral teacher. Has anybody ever heard that discussion before? Think about this for a minute. I want to unpack that a little bit today from a common sense perspective. If Jesus was a good moral teacher, I have a hard time accepting that he would lie. Because that is one of the heartbeats of morality, is not to lie. Would you agree with that? And it seems a little confusing that if he lied, he could still be a great moral teacher. That's just a simple opening of the door. But the reality is, look at his claims. Jesus claims some crazy, let me say it again, extremely crazy things. Things that no one before or after have tried to claim. And if they did, it didn't stick, because we don't know about it. It's an unbelievable claims. But before we dive into that, I want to just kind of remind ourselves, this is a Jewish world that we're living in. So when Jesus comes in, he's got to fit into some kind of a culture. What did God think about truth versus lie? Good moral teachers must tell the truth. Listen to the way God frames it in Jeremiah 5. Search Jerusalem for honest people who try to be faithful. If you can find even one, I'll forgive the whole city. That's pretty loud, isn't it? Everyone breaks promises made in my name. I answered, I know you look for truth. You punish your people for their lies, but in spite of the pain, they became more stubborn and they refused to turn back to you. Then Jeremiah 5, verse 6, a little farther down. The people have rebelled and rejected the Lord too many times. So enemies will attack like lions from the forest and wolves from the desert. Those enemies will watch the towns of Judah, and like leopards, they will tear to pieces whoever goes outside. People of Judah, how can I forgive you? God says, I gave you everything, but you abandoned me and worshiped idols. Verse 21, you fools, why don't you listen when I speak? Why can't you understand that you should worship me with fear and trembling? I'm the one who made the shore to hold back the ocean. Waves may crash on the beach, but they will never go any farther. You stubborn people have rebelled and turned your backs on me. Okay, now God has given a sermon, all right? It's a fire and brimstone too. But listen, verse 29. You need to be punished, and so I will take revenge. Look at the terrible things going on in the country. I am shocked. Prophets, now this is the important part. He has built up in the sermon to this point. Prophets give their messages in the name of false gods. What do prophets do? Anybody? Prophets speak for God. This is going to happen. And if it happens, guess what? They are a prophet of God because they told the truth before we could know what the truth was. And he's saying prophets are speaking whatever they want to speak for any number of gods. They are telling lies, is what he's saying. And they're swaying an entire people. They, priests, don't want to serve me, and you, my own people, like it this way. But on the day of disaster, you will turn for help. Just a little snippet, and there's many passages like that. God is serious about truth and honesty. He brings prophets to do that very thing and says, test it. When they tell the truth, you know it's from me. Because truth is a centerpiece of God. Morality, by definition, must have truth. It's always been that way. Proverbs 12 is a great way to judge Jesus by. And I'm going to skip through verse 17 and 19 and 28. It's in your outline there. 12:17 says, an honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies. Witness. We're called to be witnesses. Jesus said he was a witness to God. The Holy Spirit is a witness to Jesus, and on it goes. So he's claiming the status. And the Bible says a witness tells the truth. Verse 19, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. This is one of the ways we can test whether Jesus was lying or not, is because do they stand the test of time? Deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace. No harm comes to the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Satan, the archenemy of God, is described as the father of what? Lies. Do you think it's important to God? Say yes. This is where God is coming from. This is the culture with which the great moral teacher rises. John witnesses in John 1, 14 and 17 that Jesus came full of grace and truth. So some of his followers believe that Jesus was telling the truth because he claimed it. So therein lies that rub. God expects truth. The followers believe it was truth. Was it truth? And how do we test that? Let's look at some of the claims. I want to take a few minutes to really think about if Jesus is for real, if he was honestly telling the truth, it should radically alter how we view the world. Because some of the things he said will blow your mind. This is where a lot of you are filling the blanks. I'm going to run through them kind of quickly. But just for a perspective, and this is not all of his claims, but here's just a few of my favorites. John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus claims to be God. Jesus answered them, if God were your father, you would love me because I came from God and only from him. He sent me. I did not come on my own. Why can't you understand what I'm talking about? Can't you stand to hear what I'm saying? Your father is the devil. And you do exactly what he wants. He has always been a murderer and a liar. There's nothing truthful about him. He speaks on his own, and everything he says is a lie. Not only is he a liar himself, but he is also the father of all lies. Everything I have told you is true, and you still refuse to have faith in me. Can any of you accuse me of sin? If you cannot, why won't you have faith in me? After all, I'm telling you the truth. Anyone who belongs to God will listen to his message, but you refuse to listen because you don't belong to God. He is equating himself with God. I am from God. I speak for God. If you have faith in me, you have faith in God. That's how it works. I'm telling you the truth. Now, if that's a lie, could he be considered a good moral teacher? Yes or no? In what universe could you think about a good moral teacher saying things that boldly about God? That was right out of the mouth of Jesus. That's not even what people say about him. Or John 5, listen to this. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. Why? For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called his Father God, and therefore made himself equal with God. His followers, his antagonists as well, saw him and went, "He's claiming to be God." And Jesus never denies it. Mark 2 says he forgives sins. Isaiah 43:25, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, so that you will know that the Son of Man can forgive sins. I'm going to do it this way. Very bold about it. In Mark 12:40 and John 2:19-21, he talks about, take down this body and it will resurrect. Tear down this temple. Just like Jonah was in the grave 3 days in the whale, I'm going to be in the grave 3 days physically. I'm going to die and raise. When I resurrect, you're going to know what's up. Because I am who I am. John 1, one of his followers, witnesses, John says that he created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was created through him. And everything holds together through him. Colossians 1:17. John 10:33, enemies claimed that he claimed to be God. They answered, "Why? We are not stoning you because of any good thing you did. We are stoning you because you did a terrible thing. Here's what you did. You are just a man, and here you are claiming to be God." John 10:33. John 8:58, he's arguing with the Pharisees once again. And they're talking about the temple, and they're talking about this and that. And Abraham, Abraham, how would you, are you older than Abraham? Jesus? He says, "Let me tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am." Just let that soak in a minute. That's powerful in our culture. Before Abraham Lincoln was, I am. What would you think of me if I said that with boldness? It'd freak you out a little bit, wouldn't it? Y'all would start to slide back just a little bit. Before lightning struck, it would just be something not right about it. Before Abraham was, I am. But it's even more because Jesus uses that name to God uses that name to describe himself. Moses says, "What do I say your name is?" You tell them that I am sent you. And Jesus says, "Let me tell you about I am. Before Abraham was, I am." Now, do you think that that is claiming of God? They thought so. They immediately pulled back, tore their clothes, grabbed rocks, and were about to kill Jesus. Bold claim. John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, the life." He's the only truth, he says. "No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 16:13-15. He talks about being all the truth. Listen to these words. "The Spirit shows what is true and will come and will guide you into the full truth." That's what we're talking about here. Is he a liar or a truth? He's saying the Spirit's going to come and tell you all the truth. But listen to what he says now. "The Spirit doesn't speak on his own." Whoa, just a minute. The Spirit of God who hovered upon the waters in the Old Testament, by which God built the entire world. You're telling me that he doesn't speak on his own? Well, I got to know who he's talking to. What is he going to say? Where is he going to get his information? How is the Spirit going to know the truth if it's not from himself as God? Listen to what Jesus says. He will tell you only what he has heard from me. And he will let you know what is going to happen. There's that prophecy thing. The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking my message and telling it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. Okay, now he's just going too far. You mean to tell me that Jesus is standing there and saying that the Spirit only knows what the Spirit's going to tell you about prophecy and about what's coming because I'm going to whisper in the Spirit's ear. And oh, by the way, God the Father, I own it all now. How do you say that unless it's true? Or at least if it's not true, how could you be a good moral teacher? I mean, think about the ramifications of that. I mean, he's almost bridging into lunatic, which is next week's topic, right there, if it's not true. That is why I have said that the Spirit takes my message and tells it to you. John 8:32, the truth will set you free. Jesus says, you want to test my truth? Try it, and you'll see for yourself. It will set you free. John 18, he says, ask around. Listen to this. I'll jump through these, but he's in front of the high priest, and the high priest is commenting on some things. And Jesus is like, if I've done anything wrong, if I've said anything untrue, tell me, why are you hitting me? He's calling out the high priest. And then he goes to Pilate, the one who will literally have him executed soon. And he says, so you are a king. Jesus says, well, that's the whole reason I was born, to come to this world and be a king. You said it. That's the truth. And Pilate laughs, truth. What's truth? There's so many, I don't even know anymore. And he goes back and says, I don't find anything wrong with this guy. He's a little loopy. Nothing wrong. He's broken no laws. Crazy. Crazy claims. Listen to this. Josh McDowell has got some really fantastic material on this, but he makes a very salient point, and I want to read it just as he writes it. Among the religious leaders who have attained a large following throughout history. So that already is limiting to a handful of folks, okay? You got your Muhammads, you got a few folks that have just done spiritual things in a way that have trickled into the world. Among those, Jesus Christ is unique in the fact that he alone claimed to be God in the human flesh. Nobody else claimed that. A common misconception is that some or many of the leaders of the world's religions made similar claims. But this is simply not the case. Buddha did not claim to be God. Moses never claimed to be Yahweh. Muhammad did not identify himself as Allah. And nowhere do you find Zoroaster claiming to be Ahura Mazda. Yet Jesus, the carpenter, does. He says he is God. Confucianism is a set of teachings. Confucius is not important. Something is going off in my phone, and I don't know what it is. Hang on a second. That is the most bizarre thing. I don't know how to turn it off. That is bizarre. Okay, sorry about that. Where was I? Confucianism. Anyways, he says in the major world religions, the teachings, not the teacher, are the most important. And this is a real key shift. Confucianism is a set of teachings. For example, Confucius is not important. Islam is a revelation of Allah with Muhammad as the prophet. Not Muhammad is not the center of the religion. Buddhism emphasizes the principles of Buddha, but not Buddha himself. This is especially true of Hinduism. There is no historic founder of it. However, the center of Christianity, this is a real key point, is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not claim just to be teaching mankind the truth. He claimed that he was the truth, that he was the Word, that he was God. It's an unbelievable claim that if there were even an inkling of untruth to it, he would have been torn down 10 times over. And yet people still follow him. And there's a lot of evidence around it. The truth is, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. There's no in between with it. because of how radical he posed it. I can imagine Jesus being a politician and just gently throwing out a few things that cannot confirm nor deny. And people go, wow, he's doing some cool stuff. He's got some nice tricks. He's charismatic. He's a good speaker. He's a nice, maybe he's the one. I am. You said it, not me. Are you the Messiah? I could be. You're the Messiah, aren't you? Well, you said it. We're going to make him king. That might be a good idea. I need a donkey so I can ride into town. Peter, bring your sword. And they go and they worship him, and he's wandering down. He's like, this is good. This is good, all my little children. But the minute a cross comes up, the minute a spear comes up, the minute a sword comes up, what does a politician do? They run. They make like a tree and leaf, right? They don't stay around for that stuff. And this is what we have seen over and over again. Can you imagine what it would be like if Obama came on television and said, America, I am the Messiah. And you have proven that to me by voting me into office. And now I'm going to lead us into a new generation. I mean, can you imagine what would happen in America? There would be riots in the street. Those who voted for him would be off the platform immediately, because that is crazy. Jesus walks in, does miracles, confuses people with dynamic speaking that they've never heard before. Nobody speaks like this guy. People come to arrest him and they're like, nobody speaks like this guy. And then he claims all these unbelievable things. And then when he steps in front of Pilate, when he steps in front of a cross, he doesn't confirm nor deny his way out of it. I mean, how many times did Pilate try to get him off the hook? Three or four times. I don't see anything wrong with this guy. I'll give you Barabbas. How about we just do that? What's wrong with this? Are you sure you want? What? I don't see anything wrong. I am washing my hands of this guy. The blood be on you. He is stepping out of this because there's just nothing wrong with this guy. Jesus could have easily gotten out of it over and over and over again, but he was silent. That is not a politician process. Common sense tells you he must be really true or he is stone crazy. And that's next week's topic. But there's no way he's going in that with a right mind and maintaining a lie at that level. Especially one at this caliber. Why would he even go so far? Why would he say the things that he said? It's crazy. Jesus could not have been a good moral teacher if he were lying. And if he's not lying, his claims are so out of the park. It's much more than just a teacher. There's no in between there. I want to play a short film for you called Proof. And I want you to think about it. And as you're watching this, think about Jesus and the things that he said and the things that he did, the radical nature with which he said, if you follow me, you will be blessed. I am the way. I am the truth. Put your faith in me. If you know me, you know God. I mean, some radical stuff. And he is expecting you to do something with that. And he's expecting you to see results. The proof will be in the pudding. Repeat this after me. The teaching proves the teacher. What I want you to think about today, and this is the sermonic piece. There's lots of more evidence that we'll dive in a little bit more in class. But the piece that to me is overarching over all of this is that the teaching of Jesus works. And it proves that he was speaking truth. Try it and you will see. Now we're going to do something right now. Michael's going to hook me up back here. I want to pass out some flashlights. And we're going to do this all together. So nobody turn your flashlights on, because I want to turn them all on at one time when the lights are down. Okay? And we only have enough flashlights for about one per family. We got about 70 or so. So what I want you to do is have a designated family flashlight wielder, okay? Go ahead and figure out who that is as they're coming around and pass those down and get the flashlight and don't turn on. Just hold it. And the wielder will be ready. We're going to do it like Conan the Barbarian style. We're going to all point them up, okay? So when the time comes, you'll know what to do with that. One per family. If you're a one-person family, guess what? You get your own flashlight. It's going to be awesome. So pass those around, one per family, and be thinking about it. See, if Jesus told lies, and by definition, They wouldn't be the true words of God, and that's what he claimed. So if you claim that you're speaking for God and you're not, then how do we trust anything else you're saying? It's kind of an all or nothing package. When you say, all right, Jesus, I believe that you speak for God, then you then say, I believe what you're saying is true because God is true. And you came full of grace and truth, as many of his apostles and followers began to understand. Because if there's a lie, even one lie in what Jesus has said, the entire foundation of what he's standing upon begins to crumble. Everything begins to crumble. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second as we do this exercise. There's something really powerful about it. See, few people live for a lie. Even fewer people will die for a lie. In fact, I think most people who would die for a lie are automatically in the crazy zone. They're just in a different caliber altogether. Because as a politician, when you know it's a lie, you hold it as long as it gets you what you want. But you got to go back to the origin. Why would anybody ever lie? Give me one reason why people lie. So what? Holler it out. I can barely hear. Guilt. So they're trying to hide something, right? So the minute the lie ceases to do what you need it to do, you get rid of the lie, either with another lie, or you fess up, or some combination, right? Sorry. Yeah, the batteries are playing by accident. Okay. That's good to know. We have an illustration issue here that's going to throw us off a little bit. What I want you guys to do, I'm going to have to explain it since somebody came and put the batteries in. The batteries are supposed to be out of your flashlights. So when you turn the lights off and everybody clicks their flashlight on, guess what happens? Nothing. But somebody put batteries in the flashlight for us. Thank you, whoever did that. The point is this. When the lights turn down and like Grayskull, we're all turning on our flashlights and nothing comes on, does it cease to be a flashlight? Say no. Does it cease to look kind of cool? Say no. Does it cease to be all the right parts? Lights, chamber, button, keychain. Does it cease to be any of those things? Say no. But without a battery, there's no power. If there's no power, there's no light. If there's no light, then you can't see where you're going, and you will stumble, and you will fall. See, the proof is in the pudding. If Jesus says, blah, 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 love your enemies, looks great, sounds holy, blah, 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 forgive them and pray for your enemies, it looks very holy, very Buddha, right? It just sounds good to hear those things. You don't know if you want to do it, but it sounds right. Jesus says, blah, 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 don't pick the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Take the plank out of yours, and then you'll be ready to help them with it. Oh, that sounds good, Jesus. It looks really great. That's going to shine my way. I'm going to make a new direction for my life based on that teaching. And I'm going to see where I'm going. Jesus says, you know what? The least among you will be the greatest. Oh, that is fantastic. That looks so good. If I could just imagine going to work and being the least, then my light will shine and I will walk in light and I will see and it will be good. And you go to work and you turn the flashlight on and there's nothing there. What happens to that teaching? Real quick. You throw it away, don't you? Here's the proof. Jesus taught radical stuff. It is so radical that it should have been thrown out to start with. But it didn't get thrown out. And so the very next thing you're going to do is go, well, if there's any truth at all, I need to know because this is so out of the box. It makes no sense. Who claims to be God in flesh? Who does that? Even a non-religious minded person would understand how crazy that is. The Greek gods hint at little things like this. But nobody says, I am that person. I am Zeus. I am. Look at me. Have faith in me. Nobody does that. And you either throw him out completely or you believe him. And here's what they did. They threw him out completely. They crucified him. They buried him. And they said, bye-bye. And guess what happened? He rose back up again. He taught more people. He was seen by, and now I'm getting into next week's topic, aren't I? And next thing you know, it is trickling throughout the world and has changed the very time frame with which we look at space and time. Why, if not the truth? Jesus said some crazy things. And the fact that he has a following, the very fact that you're in this room today, proves he was telling the truth. You got to take that seriously when you ask this question. Jesus told the truth, and we know this because he secured a following, and the following exists still today. That is huge. And you can say that about any other religious leader. If they speak truth, they will have a following and it will last. Now, are they from God? Maybe, maybe not, but they're speaking some truth. That's why it sounds so good when Confucius say, when Buddha says, it's not bad, it's good words. It's good, right on target with the way God designed humanity to be. It's truth, and therefore it lasts. Jesus has the epitome of that corner of truth, and it has lasted longer and more impactful than any other religious figure ever. Always has, always will, because Jesus was the real deal. I said it's very seldom when someone live for a lie, even more seldom when someone die for a lie. But here's the crazy one. No one will follow a person who will die for a lie, because that's crazy. No one will follow. And even more than that, imagine the context of someone dying for a person who died for a lie. Did you follow that? Imagine a person dying a martyr for a person who died for a lie. It's crazy. It just can't happen, and it never has happened. That is the proof of Jesus. The following is still here today. The proof's in the pudding, and that's where we start our discussion. Join with me. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you today. We know that there's so many good questions out there. And Father, I pray that you would help us to wrestle with the truth of Jesus. Lord, I believe it, and I know many of us here already believe it. But Father, I pray that you would ground us in that, not in frivolous, blind faith as we talk about, but faith that has witness, faith that is on evidence, faith that is so dynamic and common sense that anybody in the world could understand if they just paused long enough to think about it. Lord, help us to see it that way. Help us to ask the hardest questions we can, believing truly that truth can handle any inquiry, because it is truth. It is a pillar of which we stand. Father, I pray for each of us today. I pray that your spirit would fill us, that you would move us, that you would change us and transform us. I pray, Father, that we would stay for class as we look at more evidence from scholars who talk about Jesus and the things that we know from history and culture and writings, from non-Christian sources and all around the world, and look at how Jesus transformed it. There's something there, Lord. We know that to be true. And his claims are so crazy. There's only one option. Father, I pray that you would root that in our spirit today, that we would know it, believe it, and live accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.